One of the obvious disagreements na meron kami ni Dea nung kami bagong kasal ay movies. Movies. I enjoy sci-fi movies, suspense, thriller, sometimes horror, superhero movies. Yan yung number one. Tagal ko nang binibenta kay Dayan yon, especially nung bago kaming kasal. But of course, hindi ho niya masyado na-enjoy yung mga bagay na yon. Ang mga na-enjoy niya is yung more of romantic movies, mga love stories, yung mga nakakakilig. Especially pag ito ay Tagalog ng konti. Nandiyan yung panahon na uso pa si John Lloyd at saka si Sarah Henorimo. Pag lumabas yung mga ganong pelikula, agad-agad yun. One time, naalala ko, tumawag pa ako sa kanya, tapos bumubulong. Sabi ko, nasaan ka ba? Nasa sinyo? Sino kasama mo? Yung pakasama niya yung mga kapatid niya. Okay, so ayaw niya manood kasama ako dahil alam niya hindi ako may enjoy. Now, because of that, because of my desire to be a caring and supporting husband, sabi ko, sasamahan kita sa kung ano man ang gusto mong panoorin na movie. Or either movie lang sa bahay o movie sa labas. And then we agreed to watch yung sinasabing palabas na Princess Diaries. May as ba yan, Princess Diaries? So, it's a story of a teenage girl na kung saan nerd siya who discovered na siya pala ay princess. Sa isang make-believe na kingdom somewhere in Europe. So I think nag-revolve ang story niya rito sa transition niya from a nobody to royalty. So it was quite entertaining. I enjoyed it. People love yung mga ganong klaseng movies, from rags to riches, from Cinderella na kung saan na gusto niya maging royalty, na sinunod niya yung mismong sandal na yon, yung shoes na yon. Or si Aladdin na kung saan nag-rob siya ng lamp, na kung saan hoping na siya ay maging prince. And we love those stories. Could it be that these fantasies or fantasy is a reflection of the reality that we have in our hearts? That we all long to be part of a family of royalty, a family na kung saan beyond us. Ngayong hapon po na ito, this is what the gospel of grace is providing at pag-uusapan natin ngayon. We are going to see how we, those who have trusted Jesus Christ, are sons of kings, daughters of kings, that we have benefits bilang mga anak ng Diyos. We are now in our seventh week in our sermon series, the book of Galatians, or it's a letter to the churches in Galatia. Ang title niyan is No Other Gospel. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Galatian churches because he was on a mission. He was on a mission, and that is to defend the gospel of grace through faith in Christ alone for justification. Yan ang kanyang slogan, yan ang kanyang pinaglalaban, yan ang kanyang tinuturo. False teachers were saying na bukod kay Christ, kailangan din nilang sundan ang mga food laws and circumcision para sila'y maligtas. Paul defended his apostolic authority for the sake of the gospel. And apostles from Jerusalem affirm itong gospel na tinuturo niya, affirm that he is indeed an apostle na hindi galing sa tao, kung hindi galing sa Diyos mismo, na kung saan pinadala ni Kristo. And they even offered the right hand of fellowship kay Paul as a sign that they are partners in the gospel. Paul once again proves his apostolic authority nung nirebuke niya si Peter mismo, who was not living in step with the gospel. Thus, he preached a strong sermon on justification. That one is declared righteous by God as one puts their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. The theology of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, is the primary blessing of a person who receives Christ as Lord and Savior. So ngayong hapon na ito, mga kaibigan, my prayer is that we would worship God not only for His redemptive work sa ating life, but that we would be captivated by the love of God the Father as His children. Because of Christ's redemptive work on the cross, We are no longer slaves, but adopted sons and heirs of the living God. Because of Christ's redemptive work on the cross, we are no longer slaves, but adopted sons and heirs of the living God. Mayroon tayong 2 points ngayong hapon na ito. Unang-una sa lahat, the beauty of sonship, chapter 3, verse 27 to 29. And number 2, the benefits of sonship, chapter 4, verses 1 hanggang 7. Number 1, the beauty of sonship, chapter 3, verse 27 hanggang 29. Kung tayo po ay magbabalik-aral a few weeks ago, ang pinaka-doktrina na natutunan po natin so far from chapter 1 to chapter 2 towards chapter 3 is yung theology ng justification. Now, balikan po natin kung ano ang ibig sabihin ng justification. Justification means that God, the Almighty, declares us righteous. Ano ibig sabihin nun? That God declares the guilty innocent, not guilty. Na kung saan pinawalang sala niya ang isang taong nagkasala. Okay? Hindi dahil sa nakita niyang mga kabutihan sa ating buhay, hindi dahil na kung saan tayo may mga nagawang mga bagay na kung saan ikatutuwa niya, hindi po. Hindi niya tayo pinawalang sala dahil doon. Kung hindi sa kabutihan na taglay at pinamalas ni Kristo nung siya ay napako sa krus bilang kabayaran para sa ating kasalanan. Jesus took the full wrath of God when He was at that cross. He took the wrath of God in our place. He died the death that we deserve and was raised to life for our justification. Siya'y namatay, nilibing, muling nabuhay para tayo po mapawalang sala. At kung sino man ang magsisisi sa kanyang kasalanan, ilalagay ang pananampalataya niya kay Kristo bilang Diyos, tagapagligtas, at yung ginawa niya sa krus ay suficiente para siya ay mapatawad, magkakaroon po siya ng buhay na walang hanggan. Siya po ay mapapawalang sala, makuhugasan ang kasalanan. Napakahalaga po ng doktrina ng justification na ito. Sabi nga ni Martin Luther, sa justification daw, nakabase kung anong isang church, kung ito ba ay magpapatuloy or kung ito ay babagsak. Sabi naman ni John Calvin, justification is the hinge around which everything turns. Hindi na po natin kailangan pagtrabahuan pa ang ating kaligtasan o pagsikapan mabuti upang tanggapin tayo ng Diyos Ama dahil tayo po ay pinatawad, nilinis, niligtas ng Panginoon sa ating kasalanan by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Christ has earned it for us. Jesus is our righteousness. Yun po yung inaccomplish niya sa cross. At dahil din, we should be rejoicing. Dapat magkaroon tayo ng kagalakan. Dapat magkaroon po tayo ng celebration knowing that our sins are paid in full. That Christ has earned it for us. We should rejoice. We are justified by God. Lahat ng mga tagasunod ni Kristo should have a strong understanding ng doktrina na ito. Kailangan pagtibayin natin yung doktrina ito kasi ito po yung naiiba po natin sa lahat ng mga reliyon sa buong mundo. Kagaya ng nabanggit natin ng mga nakaraan na linggo, ang tanging Kristyanismo lamang na nagtuturo ng tamang ebanghelyo ang magsasabi na lumapit ka at lilinisin kita. Samantalang ibang reliyon sa mundo, ang sinasabi niya, maglinis ka muna at saka ka lumapit sa atin, sa akin. Ang Diyos lang na si Kristo nagsabing lumapit ka, and I will cleanse you. Ngunit hindi po dito naihinto ang gospel sa justification. In fact, may mas exciting pa nga na nangyari nung tayo'y naligtas. Ano po ang mas exciting sa justification? Ayan po yung tinatawag na, and here's another theological term, adoption. Of course, alam mo natin ang idea ng ibig sabihin ng adoption o pag-ampon. It's also a theological term na ang ibig sabihin sonship. According ho kay J.I. Packer sa kanyang libro na Knowing God, adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers. Justification is the primary blessing because it meets our primary need. We need forgiveness of our sins and assurance of a restored relationship with God. But this is not to say that justification is the highest blessing of the gospel. Adoption is higher because of the richer relationship with God that involves sa relationship na yon. So ang sinasabi ni J.F. Packer, yes, praise God, tayo niligtas ng Panginoon, pinatawa tayo, we're justified because God declared us righteous, pero hindi pa rin yun yung pinakamataas, yung pinaka-exciting part ng nung tayo niligtas ng Panginoon. Kung hindi, na tayo ay tinanggap ng Diyos bilang mga anak. Kahit sinong mga hukom, pwede magsabing, not guilty at wala na akong kinalaman sa iyo. Pero itong hukom na to, sinabi ang you're not guilty at iuwi na kita, anak na kita. Lahat ng akin ay sa'yo na. At magpapatuloy ka nakasama sa pamilya ko. Listen, not only have we become saved from something, we are saved to something. Let me say that again. We are not have become saved from something, we are saved to something. And ano po yon? Sonship. Adoption. We can call God our Father. And this sums up the second part in chapter 3, verse 16 na inaral natin last week. Ang sabi ho sa chapter 3, verse 16, verse 26, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Isa sa kagandahan o beauty ng adoption dito is that we are now in one family. Pamilya na po tayo. We can call God our Father. We are adopted. We are one. Those who are united with Christ are now one family of brothers at saka sisters. Tignan nyo yung chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Ang baptism ay isang larawan o sign na kung saan ang washing with water signifies cleansing from sin. Ito din ay isang parang isang marka or isang official na seal ng isang public document na kung saan nakikita ng lahat bilang tanda na tayo po ay mga anak na ng Diyos or sons of God. Ang baptism ay isang litrato na isang individual that is incorporated na sa isang pamilya ng Diyos. Now, may tatlong bagay na tinuturo ni Paul dito na kailangan natin matutunan pagdating po sa baptism. Unang-una po sa lahat, ang baptism po ay isa sa mga ordinansya or ordinances instituted by Jesus Christ kasama po yung communion, which is mamaya pong konti ay gagawin po natin ang communion or Lord's Supper. Ang baptism po ay ang normal na kaganapan na dapat gawin ng isang mananampalataya nung siya ay nakakilala sa Panginoon as a sign of obedience after po siya iligtas ng Panginoon. Now, maaaring sa passage na ito, okay, Paul is not just talking about water baptism kasi there are two views about this verse. Maaaring he's also talking about baptism with regards sa Christian's union with Christ on his body. So, either one of that, ito lang yun ang sinasabi po ng baptism dito. I remember po before I was doing membership interview nung ako po isa sa mga elder pa ng Redeemer, and I was asking itong member candidate na ito kung bakit kasi gusto niyang magpabaptize. And nung nagsimula kami, yun ang laging sinasabi niya, Pastor, basta magpapabaptize ako, magpapabaptize ako. So, I'm trying to be discerning kung bakit paulit-ulit niya sinasabi. So I asked her, bakit gusto mo magpabaptize? And simply lang sinabi niya, kasi gusto kong mahugasan ang aking kasalanan. Friends, this is a second point that we must understand about baptism na tinuturo sa Bible. Baptism cannot cleanse you from your sins. Ang pagpabautismo po ay hindi nakakaalis ng kasalanan. Hindi po ito spiritual detergent na kapag binilubog ka, biglang lulutang na lahat yung mga kasalanan mo sa tubig. Hindi po. Hindi po kaya maghugas ng kasalanan ng tubig ng baptism. Hindi po. Hindi po kasi yun ang kanyang layunin. Ito'y isang litrato. Ito'y isang sensiblo. Pangatlo na kailangan natin maunawaan patungkol ho sa baptism, water baptism is a new covenant sign. As you put on Christ, which is sabi sa verse na ito, or joined with Jesus, you are now connected with everything that is in Christ. You are identifying with His death, with His burial, with His glorious resurrection. Baptism is an outward picture of an inward reality. The inward reality, there was regeneration. Baptism is a picture kung ano yung nangyari dito sa loob. Nabanggit ni Paul dito that we should put on Christ. What is that supposed to mean? Put on Christ na parang damit. When we hear the word put on, suot mo yung t-shirt na ito. And that exactly is the imagery na binibigay ni Paul dito. Saan naman nakuha ni Paul ito? Kasi sa Old Testament culture, at ganun na rin sa Greek culture, kapag lumagpas ng isang bata sa childhood stage into adulthood, ang nagiging isang kaganapan at isang ganap na mamamayan na po siya, bukod sa siya ay papatawan ng full responsibility bilang isang citizen ng bansa, siya rin ay literally kailangan magpalit ng damit. Which means kailangan niyang take off ang kanyang damit na pambata at susuotin na niya ang kanyang pang-adult na kagamitan o suotan. Kung mapapansin nyo, nasa 1 Corinthians chapter 13 yan, yun narito yung ginamit ni Paul sa verse 11. Kasi sinabi ni Paul dito, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, adulthood, I gave up childish ways," including yung kanyang pananamit. Anong punto ni Paul dito? Paul is saying, you are now clothed with Christ. Isang larawan na si Jesus ngayon ang kanyang damit na bumabalot sa kanya. The cloth of Christ's righteousness ngayon ang kanyang nasusuot bilang isang mananampalataya. Isang larawan na si Jesus ang iyong cloth of righteousness. At hindi na tayo katulad ng dati natin. Kitang-kita na ang difference. Kaya ang ginagawa nila nung mga bagong Kristiyano nung time ni Paul dito, kapag nakakilala sila sa Panginoong Hesukristo, ang ginagawa po nila ay tinatanggal po nila yung mga luma nilang damit at pagkatapos po silang i-immerse through water baptism, agad-agad nabibigyan sila ng puting robe or puting na parang toga as a sign or symbol of their new life. And this is the exact imagery na sinasabi ni Paul dito, put on. Hindi na ikaw yung dati. Eto ka na ngayon. Last Monday po, we have baptized two individuals. Si AC Domingo at saka si Milka Aquino, who both had placed their faith and trust in Christ's finished work on the cross. Ginawa nila ito upang hindi sila mapatawad sa kanilang kasalanan. Ginawa po nila ito kasi pinatawad na sila sa kanilang kasalanan. Ginawa po nila ito hindi para mahugasan ang kanilang kasalanan, kundi nahugasan na ang kanilang kasalanan as they trusted Jesus Christ through water baptism. And this is but in obedience sa Matthew 28. And as identifying Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So, ano application natin ngayon dito? Mga kaibigan, if you say that you are a born-again Christian, that you have repented from your sins and trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, pero hindi ka pa nagpapabaptize, oh, Pastor, matagal na ako nakakilala sa Panginoon, Kristiyano na ako, well, praise God. Pero kung hindi ka pa nagpapabaptize, then you're being disobedient. Matthew 28 clearly says that. Pero bakit akala ko ba ang baptism hindi nakakaligtas? Tama po kayo ron. But there is a mandate galing sa Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. If you have not been baptized and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you heard this for the first time, please talk to us elders after the service. Kapag ang isang individual ay nagkaroon ng relationship sa Diyos Ama through Jesus Christ, he or she becomes sons and daughters of God. Naging part na sila ngayon ng isang malaking pamilya. Ang tawag sa pamilya na yan ay Kristyanismo. At bilang isang pamilya ng Diyos, there is no such thing as exclusion sa family. Kapag naging part ka na ng pamilya ng Panginoon, bawal na po yung mga others. Hindi ka na others, part ka na ngayon ng pamilya na ito. Tingnan niyo po yung verse 28, yun ang sinasabi ni Paul dito. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. Kung mapapansin po natin, nilista ni Paul dito ang ilang mga barriers that separated people nung time niya. And quite honestly, yung mga barriers na nabanggit niya, tatlong klase yan, are also barriers kung bakit hindi tayo nakikipaghalubilo sa ibang mga tao. Let me explain this. First of all, sinabi niya Jew and Greek. That's ethnic or racial barrier. Have you ever experienced having a hard time na nakikipag-usap o mamansin ng mga ibang lahi? O makipagkaibigan sa ibang lahi? O kinakaibigan ka, hindi mo pinapansin? Slave or free? Ano ang klaseng barrier yan? Social barrier. Mayaman, mahirap, edukado, hindi edukado. Third, male or female, which is gender barrier. Now, hindi ho sinasabi ni Paul dito na kapag ikaw ay naging Kristiyano, hindi ka na Pilipino. Itanggi mo na na ikaw ay Pilipino. Itanggi mo na na ikaw ay lalaki. Abay, delikado ho yan. Huwag tayo pupunta dyan. Okay? Hindi po yun ang sinasabi niya rito. Eh di, kailangan pantay-pantay tayo lahat, Pastor. Wala nang ano, wala nang ibang lahi. Tayo na isang lahi. Ang lahi natin ay Christian. Although that sounds really encouraging, pero medyo offbeat siya ng konti. Ano? Kasi God designed you to be Filipinos. God designed them to be Americans. God designed them to be Indians and Pakistanis, to be male and female, young and old. So ano ba sinasabi ni Paul dito, neither Jew or Greek? And ito ang point ni Paul. Ang sinasabi po ni Paul dito, these barriers no longer divide us. Why? Because ang nagtaob ng wall or barrier na yan ay si Jesus Christ. As Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14, that Jesus Christ had taken down the wall of hostility of race. In Dubai, we are roughly 200 different nationalities. And honestly, yung 200 different nationalities, and halos wala kang makitang kaparehas mo bilang lahi, no? Sometimes, out of convenience, maigi na lang na manahimik ka. Minsan, akala mo kalahi mo, kinausap mo ng Tagalog, in English ka bigla, eh parang hindi mo na kinausap tuloy. Ay, sorry, not Filipino. Now, there's a problem pag ganon. And honestly, it's really hard kung magkaiban. There's a lot of differences. Differences sa pananamit, differences sa character, differences sa panlasa ng pagkain, and so forth and so on. But here's what's interesting po dito sa pagiging Kristiyano natin. Every time I am invited sa mga churches na mga kaibigan natin na multicultural, I see a lot of nationalities represented sa church na yon. And what's interesting is, tuwing may kausap akong Nigerian, American, Indian, Puerto Rican, Pakistani, and lahat sila nasa church na yon, all of a sudden, nawala yung mga barriers. You know why? Because there's one commonality. There's one common factor. That is Christ. All of a sudden, regardless kung anong accent, regardless kung anong educational background, biglang nagkakaroon tayo ng interest about sa bakit kasi Kristiyano tayo. Kristiyano po tayo. Dito sa Crossroads, though we are not ethnically diverse, ano ibig sabihin nun? Although we are not iba-iba ang lahi sa congregation na to, we are still diverse. We are still maraming pagkakaiba sa atin. We are diverse regionally. We are very diverse sa ating dialect, sa ating age group. We have the lovely Ilocanos and the Kapampangans and Ilonggos and Visayas and Tagalog. Lahat po tayo magkakasama ho dito. Na sa mga regions ay nagkakaroon ng regional war pagdating sa ating bansa. Nagkakaroon ng discrimination. Pero the reason why magkakasama tayo rito, it's not just because lahat tayo Pilipino. In fact, alam natin yung obvious disagreements natin and differences. The reason why we want to continue in this unity, it's because of Christ. Because of Christ. Can I confess a sad truth sa inyo? And here's the confession ng sad truth. I have a lot more in common with you than my sisters and brother. And that's the sad. I'm not saying I don't love them. I do love them. Pero wala kaming halos in common when reunion comes. Pag may conversation, mas marami pa tayong commonality. It does make sense, isn't it? Doesn't it? Because we are family. Christ created this family and we have this unity in heart and in mind and in living and we keep accountable sa bawat isa. We are family of God. Friends, how are you treating your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you treating them as family or as enemy? Have you become selective sa mga kapatiran na gusto mong kausapin at samahan? At kung totoo man ito, ang dahilan ba kung bakit ayaw mo silang samahan o kausapin ay dahil sa kanilang edukasyon? O dahil sa kanilang trabaho dito sa Dubai? O dahil sa kulay ng kanilang balat? O sa kanilang forma ng pananamit? Sa edad o estado sa buhay? Yung ba ang dahilan kung bakit hindi tayo nakikisasalamuha? O maaaring may kapatiran tayo dito, o maaaring kapatiran sa labas, na iniiwasan mo. Pagkatapos ng service, agad-agad kang nagmamadali umuwi. Di kaya na merong certain things in your life na kailangan makipag-reconcile ka na bilang kapatid mo sa Panginoon? Friends, when Christ reconciled us to the Father, He reconciled us to one another. Hindi na dapat tayo mga stranghero sa isa't isa. Kung hindi magkakapatid na tayo, mga nanay, mga tatay, mga anak, ate, kuya, kapamilya na po tayo. Oh, pastor, mahirap imbitahin yung mga ganyan ate yung kapamilya. Biglang binubuksan na lang yung ref nang walang paalam at kinakain na lang yung mga kasirola namin doon. Well, of course, hindi yun yung ibig ko sabihin pag sinabi ko kapamilya. Parang sinasabi na, feel at home nyo ba to? Parang ganun ang dating, pastor, pag pumunta ng bahay. Yung bang sinasabi mo kapamilya, hindi po lang yung ibig ko sabihin. Ito ang ibig ko sabihin, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Ito dapat ang turingan natin bilang magkakapatid sa Panginoon. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as a father. Turingin mo parang ama mo. Again, context, church. Younger men. Paano mo ituturingin yung younger man? As brothers. Older women. As mothers. And listen, single men. Younger women. As sisters. In all purity. We should be treating each other as family. And as family, para tayong mga microscope. Alam mo yung microscope? Zino-zoom in mo yung certain object and the more you zoom in, na ma-magnify mo yung mga certain details ng object na yan. Kung may minagnify kang ipis na maliit, kasi maliliit ang ipis dito sa Dubai, makikita mo na yung mga buhok sa hita, yung, baka hindi na kayo makatulog. Yun ang point ko, nakikita nyo yung mga details. If we are part of a family dito sa Crossroads, I'm not saying na tayo ipis, ano? Ang point dito is the more you go deeper sa relationships dito, you will be zooming in sa life ng bawat isa. And you will see the details of each other's life. Kasama yung impurities and flaws and weaknesses. So the question, friends, is this. Tatanggapin mo pa rin ba siya o hindi? Ano sabi sa Bible? Carry each other's burdens. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Show kindness because the kindness of God is in you. That's family. That's family. We are one family, so we should treat and live like we are family. At yun ang sinasabi sa verse 29. Balik po tayo sa chapter 3 ng Galatians. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs to the promise. Paul here takes unity and ties it up with Old Testament saints. Tinayap niya ito sa family ni Abraham. So anong sinasabi ni Paul dito? Once na ikaw ay naging Kristiyano, kapamilya mo na si Abraham at yung pamilya ni Abraham. In short, pamilya mo si Isaac, si Jacob, si Moses, si David, si Solomon, sa New Testament, si Peter, si Paul. We are all included in God's family. This is the beauty of sonship, friends. This is the beauty of sonship. We are all one family in Christ. Those who are sons of God have privilege or benefits then. Aside from being a family, yung beauty ng sonship dahil tayo isa, there's also benefits to that. And that's number two and last. The benefits of sonship. The benefits. Privileges. Chapter 4. We move now to chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. I mean that the heir, o tagapagmana, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under a under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. Verse 3, in the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. This is very complicated stuff. Probably you're in your Bible study groups and you're going like, what is he saying? Again, Paul loves to give imagery. This is pretty much normal sa kanila. When Paul uses images like this, gets nila kagad. For us, I don't think so. So we need to do a little bit of unpacking para maintindihan po natin. Now, si Paul dito gives a comparison between a child and a slave. Throughout his childhood, yung tagapagmana, the eldest son knew he would inherit yung ari-arian ng kanyang tatay. Alam niya yon. Okay? Pero, he did not own it yet. Hindi pa niya pagmamayari ito. However, his father's land title belongs to him. Bagamat nasa kanya yung mga titulo ng mga lupa, pero hindi pa niya actual na napopossess yung mga bagay na ito. Habang bata siya, nasa pangalan niya, pero in short, wala pa sa possession niya. So, habang bata siya, ano nangyayari? Ito po nangyayari. The meantime, itong tagapagmana na to has similar rights o karapatan ng pareho ng mga alipin or slaves. Now, ano ibig sabihin niya rito? Okay? So, the heir has similar rights as to the slaves. Ito ibig sabihin niya, he had no legal property rights. Wala siyang karapatan mag-own ng lupa, parang slave. He has a guardian. I think na-define natin kung ano yung guardians dito last Friday. Pedagogies, yun ang tamang pronunciation noon. Na kung saan he kept him under strict discipline. He was, yung guardians na to ang responsible, na tagagising. Siya nagsasabi ko kailan matutulog, kung ano yung kakainin, kung ano yung hihahanda. At kapag pasaway siya, he disciplines yung child na ito. Now, kaso nadagdagan to, bukod sa guardians, meron din tinatawag na managers. Managers or trustees. Now, ito ay koy-koy namuhay sa isang Greek culture at mayaman ka at bata ka, it's either may guardian ka at saka managers ka habang lumalaki. So, ano yung mga guardians at saka managers at saka trustees na ito? Yung mga trustees na ito ang nagmamanage ng actual property na nakapangalan sa bata. Okay? Lalong-lalo na pag pumanaw yung tatay, siya mismo yung magbibitaw ng titulo na ito pag tumanda na yung batang ito. So, the heir o yung tagapagmana, because na may strict rules, may mga nagbabantay sa kanya at wala siyang karapatan masyado o kalayaan, quote-unquote, he feels like a slave instead of a son dahil sa sobrang restrictions. But it was all, lahat ng mga in-place sa kanya, it is all for his own good. It was designed to bring him to full maturity until the time na siya ay mag-mature and able to make right decisions in the right age when he reached adulthood. Ngayon, ang dahilan kung bakit Paul speaks of only sons, dito pansin nyo, puro sons lang ang binabanggit. Ano nangyari sa daughters? Bakit, ano ba meron? May issue ba si Paul sa mga babae? Hindi po ang issue ni Paul yon. Ang reason po rito, because yung sons noong time na ito, is sila lang ang may karapatan pwedeng tumanggap ng mga ari-arian at hindi daughters. Okay? So in short, pag sinabing sons sa Bible, kasi yun yung legal na nakalakaran na nangyayari sa mundo nila, na ang tagapagmana ay laging lalaki at hindi babae. So, yung ba ang paniniwala ni Paul? Hindi po yun ang paniniwala ni Paul, and I'll explain why. Kasi sabi yan sa chapter 3, verse 28. Paul, being countercultural, sinasabi niya, the full rights and inheritance of a son are granted to all who belongs to Christ. Kung sino man ang makakilala sa Panginoon Jesucristo, lahat ng mga rights and inheritance na galing sa Panginoon ay mapupunta sa Kanya. At kasama po yung mga babae dito. Ang point ni Paul dito, kung bakit yung binigay yung analogy na ito, the law plays a similar role. Yung law, which is we talked about last Friday. In law, pagdating sa story ng salvation. The law of God are basic principles of the world na naka-in-place sa mga Jews, essential components or elementary things na kailangan matutunan ng mga Jews, parang ABC. Mga basic learning or building blocks ng kanilang mga pinag-aaralan yon. The law of God are basic principles. This is One good way to describe God's law. To study the law is to learn the alphabet of God's will sa mga Jews. Kaya binigay ng Panginoon yung law na yan is for them to understand kung sino ang Panginoon, kung ano ang kalooban ng Panginoon, na alam nila na hindi nila kayang tuparin lahat yon. These are all in place, parang guardians at saka mga managers sa buhay ng mga Jews. The Old Testament law was like an elementary school for God's people. Bagamat parang school ng isang elementary school children, yung mga bata yung pag na-mature, they outgrow yung school na yon. So ano nangyayari rito? In the same way, God raised His people on the law to prepare them for what? For the gospel. To prepare them pagdating ni Christ. Ang dahilan kung bakit tinawag ni Paul na elementary principle dahil pinangangaralan ni Jesus Christ yung mga Judaizers na nandito ng time na ito. Kasi ano bang chismis na kinakalat mga Judaizers sa mga Gentile Christians? Ito pong ginagawa nila. Ang tinuturo ng mga Judaizers sa mga Galatians na ang law ang next step after ng gospel. Yun ang sinasabi niya. Oh, great! Nakatanggap mo si Christ. Great! Ang sunod niyan, sundin mo yung mga laws ng Old Testament. So ang sinasabi nila, kung gusto mo pang lumalim sa kaalaman, kung gusto mo pang maging mature sa Panginoon, dapat maglapasan mo yung gospel. Dapat tapos ka na sa gospel na yan. Puro na lang gospel eh. Dapat laliman mo pa. Ngunit, ang sinasabi ni Paul dito, at ito yung comparison niya, being under the law, actually, kapag babalikan nila yan, is a sign of not maturity, but of spiritual immaturity. Kapag babalik ka sa law. Kapag bumalik sila sa law after ng gospel of grace, ay parang yung mga Galatians ay nakarating na ng pag-aaral nila ng PhD, parang bumalik sila sa kindergarten at nag-aaral ng alphabet. Parang ganun po yung katumbas niyan. So ang sinasabi ba ng mga Judaizers na kailangan aralin mo yung gospel, tama yan, pero kung gusto mo lumalim sa Panginoon, kailangan aralin mo lahat ng mga laws at sundin mo lahat yon. So Paul begs to disagree. Okay. I remember visiting a friend sa Philippines who was a great spiritual encouragement sa amin ni Dayan. We were excited to talk to them, to have gospel conversations with them, to give updates kung anong ginagawa ng Panginoon and how God has been faithful sa amin. I was surprised to know sa aming conversation na itong tao na ito started talking about a different doctrine. Isa sa mga nag-disciple sa amin to, mga mentors namin to. I reminded this person of the gospel dahil mali na yung tinuturo niya. But this person said, oh, alam ko na yung gospel na yan. Alam ko na yan. In some way, she is saying, I am past that already. Nalagpasan ko na yan. We must learn more deep, mystical things in order to fully mature in the faith. Yun ang sinasabi niya. Kasi marami siya ini-introduce. Kailangan alamin mo to. Kailangan ma-experience mo to. Kailangan mangyari ito. At saying, hindi sapat si Christ for you to mature. Friends, there is no outgrowing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not just for justification o kaligtasan, it's also for sanctification, to grow in maturity. When we are discouraged, we remind ourselves of the gospel. When we are going through challenges in our lives, we remind ourselves that this is not our home. When we are tempted to fall into sin, remind us that Christ died and defeated sin and Satan. We remind ourselves of the gospel. Walang graduation po pagdating sa gospel. Pag nag-graduate ka na sa gospel, then probably one of two things. Wala ka na sa mundo na to, or nag-iba ka na ng gospel. Now, some interpret verse 3 dito sa chapter 4 as one point Satan's enslavement over the Gentiles. So parang may argument na nangyayari. Ay, hindi yan ang tinatawag na, hindi yan law, yung elements, elemental na yun yung term. Elemental na yan, law. Well, some said, hindi, yan yung enslavement ng time ng mga Gentiles pa. Well, whether elementary principles refers to God's law for the Jews or Satan's control of the Gentiles, ang point lang po dito is this. Eventually, God's people need to spiritually grow. Yun ang point po dito. Or a time that they were no better off, dumating po yung time na to na they were no better off than slaves until the fullness of time came. Look at verse 4 to 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. The word adoption o pag-ampon, ang ibig sabihin po nito sa context na ito, is to place someone as an adult son. To place someone as an adult son. So, papaano tayo inampon ng Diyos Ama? Yun ang tanong po dito. Tayo po ay na-adopt ng Diyos Ama by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. Na alam niyo po yung verses 4 to 5 na ito, napaka-impregnated neto ng doctrine. Na buntis po ito sa napakadaming doktrina and napakadaming teaching about God and about us. And let me unpack that to you real quick. There are six things that we can see here. First of all, number one, sa aking sub-point ng point number two. Bakit sinabi na tamang-tama yung timing na ito? Because number one, let's talk about the time of Jesus coming. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, under sa ancient law, ang mga tatay ang may karapatan to set the date kung kailan matatanggap ng kanilang anak ang kanilang mana, yung mismong tatay. Okay? So, siya ang magsasabi kung kailan matatanggap yung mga ipapamana sa kanya. In the same way, si God the Father ang nag-determine kung kailan niya ipapadala ang God the Son, si God the Son, who would come to give all God's children their inheritance. Si God the Father yon. Jesus Himself knew the timing was right. Alam din ni Jesus Christ, nasa Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 15, sabi ho dyan, sabi ni Jesus Christ, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Si Jesus Christ mismo sinasabi ito na yung time. Christ came when the world was ready for Him to come. Yung time na dumating si Jesus Christ, there is what you call yung common language, yung tinatawag na koine, o koine Greek, or common Greek language. Yun yung language, parang yun yung English sa panahon natin yan, na kapag marunong ka noon, you can easily communicate. So, nung time na dumating si Christ, hindi may unified language, which is yung koine Greek. There is one language towards na kung saan yung gospel in a share. So, that was the perfect time. At the same time, there was peace sa buong Rome. Kasi Rome ang supreme power nung time na yon. Sinakop ng Rome ng lahat ng mga surrounding nations nila at gumawa sila ng mga iba't ibang klaseng kalsada. Sa bawat city ng land, lahat yan ay papuntang Rome. That's why yung term, all roads lead to Rome. So yung city na yon is flourishing pagdating sa commerce. At the same time, that yung perfect time because yung gospel pwede ma-spread. Madaling ilabas. So the time of Jesus coming was perfect. Second, let's talk about the origin of Jesus coming. Verse 4 ulit. God sent forth His Son. The fact that He has been sent by God the Father tells us kung ano yung nature ng anak na ito. He is God. Jesus is God. Meron siyang divine nature. He is one with the Father. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. And the Word there is not a vocal, spoken word. The Word there is the Son of God. So kung babaguhin natin, in the beginning was the Son of God, and the Son of God was with God, and the Son of God was God. Verse 14, and the Son of God became flesh. So the origin of Jesus coming. Third, the manner of Jesus coming. Nasa verse 4 ulit. Born of a woman. Friends, this is the doctrine of incarnation. Pag sinabing incarnation, God became flesh. So this is not an ordinary baby. That's why the best talaga na i-preach itong part na ito sa Christmas events eh. Kasi marami siyang pwedeng ituro. So the manner of Jesus coming is through a supernatural birth. Kay Mary, a virgin, dun siya lumabas, dun siya nailuwal. So Jesus is fully God, truly God. And Jesus was truly man. Totoong-totoong Diyos, tunay na tao. Fourth, the condition of Jesus coming. Ano ba ang condition ng time na yan? Jesus was born as a Jew. Siya ay isang Jew. And bilang isang Jew, may responsibilidad siya na aralin lahat ng law. Hindi lang aralin, sundin lahat ng law. Which is we know na walang kayang gumawa nun. Pero si Jesus Christ, pinanganak as a Jew, nasunod niya lahat ng law. He perfectly obeyed God's law to the point that he died under the law. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. 5 and 6 are two types of purposes kung bakit siya dumating. First, purpose of Jesus coming. Verse 5, to redeem those who are under the law. Ang theology dito is atonement. Atonement of Christ on the cross. He came para sa isang rescue mission. Christ was born to die for his people. He paid the penalty of his sins. Released us from slavery. Slaves to free men. Yun po ang ginawa ni Jesus Christ. There was the great exchange. He came to redeem his people. And number 6 and last, second purpose kung bakit dumating si Jesus Christ, verse 5, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God sent His Son in order to make us sons and daughters of God. He gave us adoption papers. Adoption was God the Father's initiative. Initiative to ng Diyos Ama, hindi po natin. He did nothing to be attractive. To convince God na piliin mo ko, hindi po yun. Parang human adoption po yan eh. Ang namibili po ng anak ay yung magulang, hindi yung baby sa adoption, di ba? Makes sense. Lahat ng mga preparations and hardships in choosing and adopting a child ay lahat yung ginagawa ng magulang. And friends, I want to stun you right now. I want to be awestricken by this. Because it's really stunning, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. Let me read this to you. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him, in love He predestined us for what? Adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ. According to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Isn't that interesting? God predestined. God chose. God chose His children before the foundations of the world. And this is a scary doctrine. But it's an undeniable doctrine because nasa Bible. Even before you existed or anything that is created in this world, God sovereignly chose His children. It is not a surprise pag ang magulang namili for adoption. Then why are we surprised kung ang Diyos ang namili? Namili siya to redeem us, to adopt us. For what purpose? Sabi sa Ephesians chapter 6, here's the purpose why He did the choosing. To the praise of His glorious name, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. So ano ibig sabihin nito sa atin practically, Crossroads? This means Marvin, God chose to save you even before you knew you needed saving. This means Kerea, God chose to love you first even before you learned to love Him back. This means Joel, God chose to forgive you even before you realize that you are a God offender and ask for His forgiveness. This means Amita, God chose to adopt you even before you knew that you desperately needed Him as your Father. Sa lahat ng ito, we will never choose God as Father. We will never choose God as Savior. Because lahat tayo may ideal kung anong gusto nating Father. May ideal tayo kung ano means ng salvation. Lahat tayo may iba't ibang paniniwala at kakagustuhan kung paano mapatawad. And lahat yun ay papuntang kamatayan. But God, in His holiness and sovereignty, did the choosing. Friends, our spiritual adoption was elected by God the Father Himself. And as adopted children of God, not only naging magkakapatid tayo sa Panginoon, alam mo yung benefit na ito? And this really blows my mind. Those who have been adopted by God the Father, He loves them in the same way that He loves Jesus Christ. Kung gaano niya minahal si Jesucristo, lahat na naging anak ng Diyos, ganun din, kapareho ang pagmamahal. Kung anong pagmamahal niya kay Jesus Christ, sa mga tumanggap kay Kristo, ganun din ang pagmamahal niya. Mabigat yun. Mabigat yun. Asa naman sa Bible yun? John chapter 17, 22 to 23. Let me read this to you. Let me back up, 22. The glory that you have given me, sabi ni Jesus Christ, I have given to them, sa kanyang mga disciples, that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 23. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. So, here's the reason. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. This is a shocking truth, friends. You are loved by God the Father. If you are here today and you are saying, nobody loves me, I am not loved, you are wrong. Ikaw ay anak ng Diyos. Ang katumbas ng pag-ibig ng Diyos sa iyo ay yung pag-ibig niya sa kanyang anak. You are loved. The problem is, you don't want that love. You want other people's love. Mali ba yun? Of course, it's not wrong. Pero to find significance and security and comfort, we want others' love and not God's love. Friends, you do not understand. I do not understand kung ano ang pag-ibig if we don't know the love of God. Husbands, you will never understand how to love your wife if you do not know Christ's love for the church. That He died and gave His life for the church. Wives, you will never know what it means to love your husband if you do not see that the church submits to Christ. Ang astig ng pagmamahal ng Panginoon sa atin. Ang Diyos ang mamahal ka. Huwag kang aalis sa lugar na ito, hindi napasok sa isip mo na hindi ako minahal. Mahal ka. Matigas lang ang ulo mo. Matigas lang ang puso mo. Matigas lang ang puso ko. The love that comes from God the Father is the same na binigay niya kay God the Son. Verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. God's Spirit not only transforms our identity from slaves to sonship, but also transforms our intimacy to God. Before we hate God, now we love God. We call Him Father. Remember, ang context nito ay end ng chapter 3 at ang pagsimula ng chapter 4. Paul is saying that we were once held captive by the law of God. We were condemned by the law of God kasi hindi natin ito kaya tuparin. But because of Christ who now is in us, He transformed our hearts and we are now captivated by His love. Now, many people say, ang ibig sabihin ng Abba Father, parang ano lang yan, Daddy and Papa. And that's true. It's a very intimate type of calling. But it's more than just Papa o Tatay o Nanay at Daddy. It's more than that. It's the same tone and word nung sinabi ni Jesus Christ sa Garden of Gethsemane nung Mark 14:36. Father, take this cup from me. Not as you will, but as you will. Crying out to the Father with total desperation, total obedience, total submission, total passion. I remember nung bata kami, kapag nakarinig, kasi usong-usong yung mga magnanakaw. Ano? Hanggang ngayon naman ata usong yung magnanakaw. Hindi ata nalalaos ang magnanakaw. Ano?
So, nung bata kami, pag may narinig kami, may naglalakad sa bubong, natatakot kasi alam namin magnanakaw. So, ang gagawa namin, biglang tatakbo kami sa tatay ko, sisigaw ho kami, Daddy! Because we're afraid. We want His security, His comfort. We're dependent on Him. Friends, that's the type of Abba Father God wants to be addressed. Hindi, Lord, nga pala, pinagpe-pray ko yung pagkain namin bukas. Lord, pagalingin mo si Intoy at si Neneng, ikaw na ang bahala sa kanya, pag-uwi na sa Pilipinas. I mean, those are not wrong prayers, but where's the passion? Where's the dependence? Where's the reliance? Where's the humility? The cry to a father. Friends, you have nothing to fear about God. He is now your father. You are now son and daughter if you put your trust in Christ. So my last question sa inyo ngayong hapon na ito, are you a son of and daughter of God? If not, then bear in mind that probably ikaw ay anak ng ibang ama. Because of Christ's redemptive work on the cross, we are no longer slaves, but adopted sons and heirs of the living God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us of the gospel of Christ. Thank you for reminding us that we are your children, that we are adopted children. At bilang adopted children, pareho kami ng rights ni Jesus Christ. Pareho kaming pag-ibig na natatanggap sa inyo na pareho nang binigay niyo kay Christ. I pray that this would give us comfort, compel us to live and love for you more and for your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.